Is this thing on?
Yeah, you're on, sir.
Already on. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, Brother Billy knows how to get to a hungry country boy, don't he? Talking about them butter beans and cornbread. Beat it all. I'm like him. I'm a diabetic, high blood pressure, on cholesterol medicine. I take enough pills every morning, I don't have to eat breakfast. I guess that all comes with a Baptist preacher, though. Thank God for what we've already heard today. Thank the Lord. I know that God's always there, as Brother Steve preached. He'll always meet our need. Thank God for the salt of the earth. If it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be saved today. Because of God's people praying, God's people witnessing, God's preachers preaching the Word of God, amen, that I'm born again. Amen. Thank God for that today. We've been sick all week. Some kind of a virus that we had got to come Tuesday morning, and thought we were over that thing, and right back at it all day yesterday. And thank God we're feeling better today. So you just pray for us this morning, kind of weak in the body, but God's able to give us strength. If you will, turn your Bibles to Acts chapter number 26, verses 24 through 29. Very, very familiar scripture, talking about King Agrippa, a man that admitted that he was almost persuaded. You know, I never read anywhere in the Bible where this man got completely persuaded, got saved. But I never read where he didn't get saved. That's between him and God. One day I may see him in heaven. You know, I didn't get saved when I got under conviction. My wife talked to me and talked to me and finally got me to go to church on a Sunday night way back in the 60s. And I had convinced her that Sunday was my only day of rest and I didn't want to go to church. But she finally, crying and all of that stuff, got me to where I said, well, I'll go. But I ain't going to sit up front. I'm going to sit on the back pew, and they better not nobody in that church say nothing to me. That's the attitude that I had. You know why? I was a lost man. I sat way back in the back. Preacher got up, just a little old country preacher, first church that he ever pastored. But he was bold enough to open the King James Version of the Word of God and preach the gospel in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. Well, I got almost persuaded that night. I didn't go to the altar, but I got conviction. And I didn't give my heart to the Lord till Thursday night, and I wasn't in revival, or they wasn't in revival at the time. But that's as far as I could go under conviction. Then I got all the way persuaded, got on my face before the Lord, and asked him to save my soul, and he did. So I don't know whether King Agrippa got saved or not. I've heard a lot of preachers say, well, I'm convinced that he didn't. I'm not convinced that he didn't. I know what he said right here in these scriptures. I hope and pray to God that somewhere along the line that he did what I did, fell down on his face before the Lord, and he could have did that. But let's look at these scriptures. Acts 26, starting with verse number 24. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most notable Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Paul saw something happening to that man. Paul saw something going on in that man's life. But then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. That means that man was under conviction right there. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Let's pray. Father, Thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. Lord, allow the Holy Ghost to preach through me, get me out of the way, and have your way and your will, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach just a few minutes on borderline Christians. And I believe that the world is full of borderline Christians today. Folks, listen to me. Borderline just ain't no good. Now, over at my house, and I live about a half a mile from here, I've got borders on my property, and I can take you to each corner, and I can show you where my border's at. But guess where my house is? Right in the middle of that lot. Right out there where it needs to be. It's not on the borderline. It's not way off on the side, but it's right in the middle of that lot where it needs to be. We've got people in churches today. They're religious. They think in a religious way, but they're not really giving their hearts and their lives to God. They're borderline. You say, preacher, what's wrong with being borderline? There's a whole lot wrong with being borderline. Look at Moses. Moses came to a borderline one day, and God said, let me show you the promised land over there. But guess what? Moses didn't get to go there in his fleshly body, even after going through all that he went through and leading the children of Israel. He did not get to go in. That wasn't all. The children of Israel one day came to the borderline of Canaan, and they sent some spies over into there. When the spies came back carrying those big pods of grapes and the things that were in the land and was shown what was over in the land, the people convinced the children of Israel that they shouldn't go in there because there was giants in the land. But old Caleb and Joshua said, hey, let's go on in there. Let's get in there. And that flat land is flowing with milk and honey. But you know what? They didn't go in. They spent the next 40 years wandering out in the wilderness of sin. Why, preacher? Because they came to the borderline and refused to go in. And the world is full of that today. The churches, let me just re-say that, quote, unquote, so-called churches today have men in them that are not preaching the Word of God. They're doing everything else except preaching the Word of God. They're making themselves look good, and they got a house full of borderline Christians. Say, what are you talking about, preacher? Listen, we've got people today in churches, they're doing everything except what God wants them to do. They've come close to what God wants. They've come near to what God wants, but they're not doing what God wants. Almost, but not saved. Almost, my friends, is not good enough. Well, I thought about doing it. Listen to me. Good intentions can pile up and fill this building, but they're not going to do any good. Matter of fact, that's why a lot of churches are not doing anything today. They've got people with good intentions that's almost persuaded to do it, but it never gets done. We wonder why a lot of the pastors have got ulcers and things happening in their bodies today. It's because there happened to be a pastor, a janitor, and everything else in the churches. I've been there before. Know what it's about. Let's look at three things real quickly, and then I'll let somebody else get up and preach. But look at this. Number one, the borderline Christians are religious in their thinking. They're religious in their thinking. Let me tell you something, folks. I am religious toward God. I am religious toward His Word. I am religious in His work because I'm saved today. But there's a lot of people today that have a good dose of religion that do not have salvation. Look what the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us in 2 Timothy. You can find these border religious, those that are religious in their thinking, in 2 Timothy in chapter number 3. Matter of fact, 2 Timothy 3 and 5, the Bible said they're having a
form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. That means they got pretty close to the form, the power of God. They kind of know what it might be, but they don't know what it really is. You know why? Because they're not experiencing the power and the might of the Holy Ghost of God. They're not enjoying feasting upon the Word of God. They're traditional in their thinking. What's wrong with tradition, preacher? Not a thing in the world wrong with good, godly, biblical tradition. Oh, no, sir. Now, listen, I'm going to tell you this is just a little illustration. I pastored a church. No, I didn't. I preached at a church one time for over 2 years and never was their pastor. They never would let me be their pastor. You know why? Because they were traditional in their thinking. After I remember the first month I was there, they said, preacher, we got a deacon's meeting today after church and want you to be there. I thought, well, I guess I should be. I'm the pastor. So right after Sunday morning service, the deacons marched off back in the back room and I went in there and sat down with them. And you know, the chairman of the deacon board, I don't like that. Only board I ever seen in the Bible, Paul floated ashore on it after the shipwreck. But listen, the chairman, as he called himself, of the deacon board, looked at me and said, now, preacher, you just keep your mouth shut. We're going to say what we want to say. And then after we get through saying, if you've got something to say, you can say it. And I thought, my, I got me a bunch of boss deacons. I was learning in a hurry at that church what was going on. Well, they got up there and they went through all of their things and silly little things and talking about Robert's Rules of Order. And here I was wanting to say, whoa, wait a minute. I don't want to talk about Robert's Rules of Order. I want to talk about the King James Version of the Word of God. That's what the church is established upon. But they went on and on and on. And after a while, the deacon, the chairman of the deacon board standing up there said, well, all right, anybody else got anything to say? All right, preacher, if you've got something to say, you can say it now. Of course, I said a couple of things, what I thought that God wanted us to do in that church, and they all sat there and listened to what I had to say. And, you know, I'm just used to being a pastor that when God says do it, we do it. And do you know what they did? That chairman, when I got through speaking, he said, are you through? I said, yes, sir. He said, all right, fellas, let's have a vote on what the preacher wants to do. And he had a vote on what the preacher wanted to do. And do you know what? They voted him down. They said, we're not going to do that in this church. How, you know how I stayed there 2 years? Because God kept me there 2 years. When the Lord gave me liberty, I went out that door and I stayed out that door. Folks, listen, they were traditional in their thinking. Never could do nothing for God. Never would do nothing for God. Never would follow what God wanted to do. And they're still doing the same thing today. Oh, you say, well, what was wrong with them? I tell you what was wrong with them. Their tradition had them with $200,000 in one bank account, $36,000 in another bank account, $15,000 in another bank account, but the FBI couldn't get a penny of it from them. Traditional in their thinking. They were going to do what they wanted to do, what their daddy did and what their daddy's daddy did and what that one did. That's all right if he was following God. But listen, they have a form of godliness but denying the power thereat. In that same chapter, 2 Timothy, chapter number 3, verse number 4, they are lovers of pleasure, listen, more than lovers of God. They wanted everything their way. They wanted to look good to the community. Oh, listen to me. I want God to look good to the community. I want God to be in the center of attention. I want God to touch people's hearts, not me. In the very same book, 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 7, ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of truth. Traditional in their thinking. Traditional never gets you anywhere in the church. Well, and one day we were in church and I decided we were not going to have service on one night because we'd had all day homecoming and everything. And so I got up and I said, we're not going to have a service tonight. One of the brothers in that church jumped up and said, hey, we ain't never done that before. I said, well, brother, we're going to do something new today. So after church, I went back to the back and standing there shaking people's hands, and that brother come by me and said, "Excuse me, brother, but I got to stand in the gap and make up the hedge." I said, "Good for you, brother. Good for you. You just keep standing right there. I'm going to go with God." Amen. Not trying to be a smart aleck, but listen to me. People will take quotations out of the Bible. They're religious in their thinking, and they never get anywhere for God. Number two, not only are they religious in their thinking, they're traditional in their actions. Every action they have, it's got to be like it always was. And they love that old song. I know you've heard this saying a million times. I shall not be moved. And when they sing it with feeling that they shall not be moved. Oh, listen, everything I try to do in that church, there was a lady that sat up front. And everybody looked to that lady that she just ruled everything. And one day she come to me and said, "Now, preacher, I've been in the way a long time." I said, "Sister, you need to get out of the way and let God do something." Amen. You say, "Preacher, I wouldn't say that nobody." I did. I was tired of being in the way of what God wanted to be done. Amen. Listen, folks. Tradition's all right if it's godly. Religion is all right if it's godly. Bible says in Colossians 2 and 8, beware of those after the tradition of men. I'm not following a man anyway. God help that person that's following Frank Garner. God help that person that's following a man today. If I fall, you know what they're going to do? Fall right with me. Oh, but if we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, every day's going to be a new day. Every day's going to be a new experience. But traditional people don't like new experiences. They got that old cliche, "It's me and my four. Shut the door. We don't want any more." That's just the way they have it. Traditional in their actions. In Peter 1 and verse number 8. Not redeemed by tradition from your fathers or of your fathers. You're not redeemed because grandpa was a deacon in the church or was a pastor. My grandpa, my daddy's daddy, was a circuit-riding Baptist preacher in West Virginia in the mountains, and he had four churches that he pastored. Well, he really didn't pastor. He was one every other Sunday. He was at a church, a different church. But listen, folks, it's not because my grandpa was a circuit-riding preacher that I'm saved. My mother's a Pentecostal. I got a brother that pastors a Pentecostal church in West Virginia. But it's not because of them that I'm saved. It's all about Jesus, thank God. He's the one. One day they asked me, said, "Hey, why are you a Baptist?" I said, "Because God put me there, and I'm going to be the best one I can be. Be what God wants me to be." I even had my Pentecostal brother ask one of my other brothers, said, "You reckon our brother Frank will ever get right with God?" Well, thank God I am. I'm born again. Oh, I might not be right in my doings every day, and I have to pray for me more than I do anybody else. But listen to me, folks. I'm not traditional in my thinking. I don't know what God's going to do with this day. I might die before the day's over, and I might be the biggest blessing in the world before the day's over. I might get the biggest blessing before the day's over. I'm just going to let God do it. Amen. Bible teaches us, in the book of Galatians, chapter 1, verses 14 through 15. I'm not going to read all that. It's God's grace, not man's tradition. It's God's grace, not man's tradition. It's all about God. It's not about who started out in the charter members of the church. It's not about how powerful the chairman of the deacon board is, and if his daddy was a deacon, and his daddy was a deacon, and his daddy was a deacon. No, it's not about that. It's all about what God wants in our life. How do you know what God wants? Right here. Amen. Get you a good copy of the King James Version of the Word of God. Get in it. Study it. Let it be burned in your hearts that you not sin against God. And then you're in the right way for the Lord.
Amen.
So we find that borderline Christians are religious in their thinking. And they're traditional in their actions. Last of all, and very quickly, they're unstable in all their ways. Preacher, why are you preaching this at a camp meeting? Because it's what God told me to preach. You say, well, who are you preaching it to? I don't care. I'm just preaching it. Let the Holy Ghost lead it wherever he wants. It ain't none of my business. Unstable in all of their ways. What are you talking about, preacher? James chapter number 1, verse number 8. It says they're double-minded. Double-minded. Listen to me, folks. God don't have any double agents or secret agents.
Amen.
No, sirree. God wants his people to show themselves worthy to do his work. God wants his people to let people know why they're there. He don't want us to hide in some kind of a robe or some kind of a action that we can do. But God wants his people to be plain in what they're doing. We're getting away from that today. Getting way away from that today. James chapter number 1, verse number 6. Bible says that they're like a wave of the sea, driven by the wind. You know where that wave's going? Wherever that wind takes it. Whichever way the wind takes it. We've got Christians like that today. Those borderline Christians today, they'll go any which way the wind blows. If somebody comes up with a new religion and a new way to worship, you know what they do? They'll jump right in the midst of it and they'll go blowing with the wind. And they'll do whatever tradition's doing in the world. They'll do whatever man's doing. Oh, but listen to me. I don't care what people think about me. I don't care if I'm with the in crowd. I am with the in crowd as long as I'm with God's crowd. We're in him. Oh, thank God we're on our way to heaven. But I don't want to be in the worldly in crowd. I don't want to be religious in my thinking. I don't want to be traditional in my actions. And I certainly don't want to be unstable in my ways. I want to be what God wants. I got a lot of pastor friends that don't understand why I'm not pastoring anymore and why I'm working in the missions. Well, let me just clear that all up for you. That's what God wants for me.
Amen.
God wants that for me.
Amen.
And that's where I'm going to be. And I'm going to do my very best at it to do what God wants me to do. I'm tickled to death. I'm 57 years old. March, I'll be 58. And you know what? It seems like since God put me in these missions, I said, Lord, why are you putting an old geezer like me in something like that? But you know what? God's made me feel like a little old young boy again. I'm ready to go, ready to do for God. Amen. And I love it every bit.
Amen.
I want to be what God would have me to be. Somebody needs help down there in Honduras, Nicaragua. Poor old brother Bob Tyson don't even know where he's at anymore, but he's done a great work there. And I pray to God, and you please help me pray to God, that I can do something to help that mission down there. I am not trying to raise support for Brother Bob and Sister Joan. Brother Bob and Sister Joan raised their own support. I have to raise my own support. Everybody in that mission has to raise their own support. Nobody's on salary. I'm trying to draw attention to the mission in particular, the whole thing down there, that preachers can get on the field and preach, that children can be fed, adopted and put into school, that God's work can go on. People can be saved like they are down there. That's exactly what I want to do. Like a wave of the sea, unstable in their ways. Not only that, last of all, James 1, verse number 7. Let not that man think he will receive anything of the Lord. I don't want to be just almost. I don't want to be borderline. God's got a place for me. I don't want to stand on the border and look in there and try to figure out what's going on. I want to get in there and amongst it and say, God, I'm in here. Now you do what you want to do. That's the way it needs to be.
Borderline Christians, the world's got too many of them today. We need the real thing in this world today. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for hearing me.